Now, the form, or the forms, of Avalokiteshvara on the one hand, and his mantra, the Om Mani Padme Hum, the jewel in the lotus, on the other, these two are connected. The form, the figure, whether with 1,000 arms or 4 arms, is a symbol, a shape symbol, space symbol, light symbol. And the mantra, of course, is the sound symbol. And they're both symbols of this sort of compassion state, compassion aspect of enlightenment. And they, as it were, converge on it from different directions. The light symbol converging, say, from this direction, the sound symbol from this direction, converging on their common object, this state, this experience of the compassion aspect of enlightenment. Now the question arises, how does one bring them together? How does one meditate on them? And it's this process that I'm going to describe now and then conclude. Now we're going to assume that one is meditating on the four-armed form. That is to say, on the Sadakshari Avalokiteshvara form. So what does one do? How does one proceed? First of all, one goes for refuge. One says, I go for refuge to the Guru. This comes first in Tibetan Buddhism, then to the Buddha, then to the Dharma, then to the Sangha. And one doesn't go for refuge on one's own, by oneself. One goes taking, as it were, with one all living beings. One imagines, one visualizes them also as going for refuge, because all life ultimately is heading in that direction, heading in the direction of enlightenment. So one begins, one starts by going for refuge. And then one invokes, one calls down blessings. One, as it were, prays or aspires for blessings on one's body, a speech and mind, that they may be transmuted, transformed, transfigured, and that one may make spiritual progress. And after that, one develops the bodhicitta. One takes the bodhisattva vow. One vows, as it were, that one will gain enlightenment, not just for one's own sake, but for the sake of enlightening, benefiting, helping all other living beings. And that one will practice the six perfections as a means of achieving that end, that result. So in this way one develops the bodhicitta. This is a very elaborate procedure. I've no time here for details. After that, one reflects. One reflects in the first place, using a Sanskrit formula, that all things whatsoever in the universe are by nature pure. You see no impurity anywhere. Everything is pure. The whole world is pure. And everything in it is pure. And having reflected in this way, you reflect, I too am pure. I am a pure being in a pure world. In my essential nature, I too am pure. And having done that, out of the depth of space, as it were, out of the depths of reality, one conjures up the figure of Avalokiteshvara. One sees, first of all, a throne of jewels. On that throne of jewels, one sees a moon disc, or moon mat, as it's sometimes called, on top of a lotus carpet. And on top of that, one sees, one visualizes, one feels, one experiences oneself as Avalokiteshvara. Now there are different kinds of practice. In some kinds you visualize the Buddha or Bodhisattva in front of you, different from you, but in others you visualize yourself as the Buddha or Bodhisattva. So it's the second exercise that one is doing here in this context. One visualizes, one imagines oneself as Avalokiteshvara, one's body, the color of a conch shell or crystal, with smiling face, with four hands, four arms. The lower two are joined at the chest, at the heart, And here's a bit more symbolism. They symbolize the jewel in the lotus. The two hands with the four fingers each symbolize the lotus. The two thumbs together are the jewel. So this is why the Buddhist salutation is like this. The jewel in the lotus. This, according to Buddhist tradition, is the Brahminical salutation, which a Buddhist is not supposed to do. The Buddhistic one is this, with the fingers separated and the thumbs together, so that you make a jewel in a lotus. So that when you greet someone in this way, you remember that there's a jewel, i.e. enlightenment potentiality in him, as well as in you. Then, the upper pair of hands hold one of them a rosary, a crystal rosary, for reciting the mantra, of course, and the other a lotus, the symbol here of spiritual rebirth. The two feet are in Vajrasana, one on top of the other. Then the body of Avalokiteshvara, one's own body, is decked with silks and jewels. One has long blue-black hair with a top knot. And right on the top of the top knot, there's a little figure of Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, because he is the spiritual father, as it were, of the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara. He's the head of what is called the Lotus Family. All Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are organized into five families, the Lotus Family being one of them. And this sort of organization is the basis of a lot of Buddhist symbolism. We're not going into that now. But one ends up visualizing the Buddha of infinite light on the top of the top knot of Avalokiteshvara, or oneself visualized, realized as Avalokiteshvara. Then, having done that, one invokes upon oneself, invoking as Avalokiteshvara, the blessings of Amitabha, the Buddha of infinite light, on the top of one's head, regarded as the Guru. And one prays, as it were, that one may gain Buddhahood for the sake of all quickly. And having done that, and this is quite an elaborate exercise taking quite a long time, then one just lets go. It is said that one lets go smoothly. You just drop it, drop everything. And you stay in a state free from thought. There are no thoughts. And you stay there as long as is necessary, free from thoughts. And then you go back to your visualizing. Inside your heart, you visualize a sort of moon lotus, horizontal. And on top of that, a red hari. This is the seed mantra of Amitabha. And round this, encircling it, the six letters of the mantra. Om, Ma, Ni, Pa, Dme, Hum, of the appropriate colors. And from them they issue rays of light. And these rays of light call down the compassion and blessing of the Buddhas. Now, having done all this, and not before, one starts reciting the Om Mani Padme Hum. This is the full practice, or at least one version, one form, one tradition of the full practice. You don't just start reciting the mantra in any old sort of way. Though even the simple recitation has its own value. One mustn't underestimate that. But if one wants to do the practice fully and properly, you visualize in this way first, and then, and only then, you recite the Om Mani Padme Hum. And in the context of this particular practice, at least 500 times. You can go on as long as you like, even for 1 or 2 hours, or the whole day. And having come to the end of your recitation, you dissolve the throne on which you're sitting, the lotus, the moon disc, you dissolve them all into light. And this light merges in yourself. And then you bring the practice to an end with dedication of merits. You, as it were, say whatever merits, whatever benefits I might have gained from this practice, may they be shared by everyone. And then, having done the practice, having come to the end of the practice, you shouldn't just leave it there. You have thereafter to think of your dwelling place, your abode, your whole surroundings as being the pure land, the happy land itself, the sort of paradise of Avalokiteshvara. You're living in a transfigured world because you are changed, a transfigured being. So this is the way in which one must think, one must reflect, that your whole environment is a pure land, a happy land, a glorified realm. And you yourself are Avalokiteshvara, that you've become transmuted into Avalokiteshvara. And not only that, but as Avalokiteshvara, all the time, whatever you do, wherever you go, you are attending upon, recollecting, remembering the Guru, as it were, on your head, the Buddha of infinite light. You think constantly about the Buddha of infinite light. And whatever you do, wherever you go in the world, to whomsoever you speak, whatever your activities, howsoever you're engaged, all the time, day and night, one has to act, after doing this exercise, with compassion. Compassion for all living beings. So if one can do this, if one can practice this visualization and mantra recitation in this way, then one becomes completely transformed, completely transfigured. One becomes, as it were, radiant. One becomes, one may say, a jewel. Even one becomes the jewel. And the world in which you live, the world in which you move, the world in which you have your being, your environment, your immediate environment especially, this becomes your lotus. So in this way, practicing, realizing, experiencing in this way, oneself becomes, oneself is the jewel in the lotus.